Hi, Anna.
Hi, Sarah.
How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, you're breaking up. Do you have a good connection today? Welcome, Kia.
Hi.
So thanks, Kia and Anna on the phone. I was just checking in with Anna. Do you have a good connection today?
I actually...
I couldn't understand that. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah, you're totally breaking up. Are you home or traveling? Oh, it's really challenging to hear you. All right, well, maybe it'll get better. Maybe you can log off and log back in. Possibly, I'm not sure. It wouldn't be a week of our calls if we didn't have technical difficulties, right? Okay. So I've got Kia and Minx on the line. Is anyone else joined? Okay. We're getting smaller and smaller each week. So Jenny sent me a quick email. She's Anna?
Yes?
Just talk a little bit. Let's see if it's any clearer.
Okay. I can try it later.
It's maybe a touch better, but definitely can't discern all the words that you're saying. So just hang in there. So what I was saying was that Jenny sent me a quick email, and she'll be joining the call a little bit late. Nikki is in California and is driving, so she'll be on. She should be on momentarily. And we're waiting for Mel. Cynthia will not make it today. So let's just give everyone maybe one more minute, and then we'll get started. I wanted to let you guys know that I'm back in my condo.
Oh, congratulations.
I slept here last night. Yay.
Thank
you. Yeah, it was actually a little unsettling. I did some sage just to, you know, change the energy a little bit. And I didn't sleep very well, but it felt good to be in my own bed.
The settling in process.
Yeah, and realizing that 3 weeks ago today, I was being woken up in the middle of the night by flooding. So it's kind of weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel so much longer?
Does it feel so much longer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It feels like 3 months.
Wow. Wow. Are a lot of people getting back in their places, or?
I got lucky. I got... some really great contractors that work their butts off, but it's about half and half.
Mm.
So, anyway, let's go ahead and get started. And would anyone that's on the call right now like to ground us? And because of Anna's connection, it's going to have to be Minx or Mel. Minx or Kia, excuse me.
Would you mind getting it? Because I'm still eating. Sorry.
We want you to breathe, and maybe you can stop chewing for a minute. Okay. Great. Welcome, Mel. We're just getting started with our grounding, and Minx is going to lead us into our intention for our work together today.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay. So, if your key is stop eating. I'm just joking. All right, so wherever you are, if you can just take a moment to start to focus your attention towards our call and our collective effort to, you know, share in the learning and growing that this material represents. And so whatever feels like it would anchor you in this moment, a position or eyes closed or steadying your eyes somewhere, just pick something that seems very suited to your needs at the moment. And maybe hi, Nikki.
Hi, Sasha.
That wasn't Sasha.
Oh, hi.
Okay, it's a different kind of grounding. Hi, Nikki. We're in our grounding.
It's like late students to class.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, you know, if you can take a moment to just remind yourself of your intention around joining this process in the first place, like what initially inspired you to sign up? And once you recall that, if you could take a few breaths just to breathe some energy and memory and invigorate that inspiration. And as you remind yourself of what inspires you, let's all bring that energy into our call today. Done.
A plus. Thank you. That's great. That's such a great reminder as to why we're all spending our time and our energy in this place at this moment. So I hope that you are all feeling that you're benefiting and learning. And I always say this at the end, but I really, really, truly mean it, that if you have feedback or suggestions or questions or concerns around anything that we're doing in this program, because, you know, we're starting the latter half of this, being week 7, please don't hesitate to reach out to me, because we want to continue to make this the best program possible. So thank you, Minx. Welcome, Mel. Welcome, Nikki. Jenny will be joining us in about a half an hour or an hour, and Cynthia is missing today. So let's just go around the circle, this very wide circle that spans across the United States, and please share, if you'd like, a win. You know, it's basically just a conscious acknowledgement of something that you've done and a challenge that you experienced this week. And anyone can start. We'll keep it to about 2 minutes max.
Okay, it's Mel. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I'd say, so just dropping in a moment, I'm about, you know, as you know, I'm pregnant. I'm about 6 months pregnant, and I am onboarding a beautiful group of teachers to mentor, and I'm just balancing already having kids at home and all that stuff. And I feel like a win is that I actually have been balanced enough that I'm enjoying it, and I feel happy and generally calm and present in the amount that I'm taking care of and balancing. So that feels like a real win, because I've had some wins when I was a mom. And I'd say just the flip side of that, because it's all the same, I'm having this where I keep looking at my plate and thinking, my gosh, I don't know if I can sustainably keep balancing what I'm balancing, like I need to take it off. And, you know, so there's still like at any moment I could wobble and drop everything. And that's part of, you know, just where I'm trying to focus and get myself really grounded to do some elimination and to be more productive while this in this time of like feeling good before I give birth.
Okay. I'm sorry, what was that last part before you
give birth?
Give birth. Okay, yes. That would be a major thing. Okay. I'm just checking. All right. You know, I've never been pregnant, so I'm not going to speak to that. But I do know modifications in yoga. But, you know, when you start wobbling, even like if you're not pregnant and you're in dancers, right, and you're wobbling, and it's your body trying to figure it out, right?
Yes.
So I just invite you to consider, you know, what you do when you fall off balance in an asana. And, you know, allow that to come into your everyday life. But I'm glad that you're feeling so good and feeling balanced.
Thanks.
All right. Who would like to go next?
I'll go next. It's Minx.
Okay.
Hi, Mel. All right, so I feel like I'm, you know, continuing, you know, my win I'm feeling very celebratory about letting go of things. Yeah, which is, you know, I'm just feeling that capacity to still maintain focus on my life in the way that I feel is in integrity and allow certain things to, you know, to let go of them, like I let go of mentoring. And I just am so surprised by how amazing that feels. And I just decided to try to restructure my learning around chanting and so that I don't have to fly away for 2 weeks and be in an environment that I don't really enjoy. So I'm in the process of restructuring that, which also feels really good to, you know, I want to say personalize the way that I want to get my learning done. And let's see, challenge, still feeling physically, you know, the impact of the last several weeks. So just trying to, you know, keep the space, you know, psychically, psychologically, and physically to just allow that replenishment process to take place and providing the support. It's still challenging to feel that rundown quality, though.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Did you feel like letting go would not give you a feeling of celebration?
Well, my I don't know what to call it. You know, just my upbringing and the way that I've, you know, always operated is to fulfill the commitments that I say yes to.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I thought, oh, I'm going to really be happy not to do that, there's a part of me that was wondering if I would feel really, you know, some distress around not following through on my, you know, quote, commitments. But what I found was that if I really looked at my life priorities, the commitments I've made with myself and personal integrity, just to really recognize those and then make the choices that made sense led to just a really good feeling and clear choice. Yeah.
Well, I invite you just to consider and bring in all the commitments that you do have and that you're honoring, and also to get yourself to a yin class.
To a yin class.
Yes.
Thank you, Sasha.
You're welcome. Who would like to?
Yay, me.
Thank you.
I could go next. It's Kia. Let's see. My challenge this week, just been in my negative mind when I'm teaching, just sort of having
an experience of being bored. Not in all my classes, definitely not in my Kundalini classes, because there's so much time to feel the wonder of spirit. Somehow in my flow classes, I've been bored and really challenged by my own boredom. And today, I finally broke the pattern, last night and today, really this morning. So that was good.
Do you mind sharing what the how you broke through? What was different this morning?
Say that again. What, sorry?
Do you mind sharing what that breakthrough was, or what happened this morning that shifted things for you?
If I wish I could really understand what it was, because I don't know about you guys, but this cycles up in me, from time to time. I'm really inspired and class is slow and it's just pure joy. And then I go through phases where it's just challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my head. It's hard to drop into my heart fully. And so what was it? I can't even tell you. It was an alchemy that happened. I guess degrees of surrender, which I'm always working on when that happens, not trying to double think myself.
Mm.
I think a lot of it comes from I travel so much right now that when I'm, it takes me a while to get back into my groove with the regular classes when I've just been off on the road. So I'm those adjustments. Sometimes I come back really inspired, and sometimes I come back and it's the opposite. It takes me a while.
Mm-hmm.
And my win just continues to be writing my teacher training. Now I've got my teeth into it, and that feels really good. You might think that would translate into my classes, and somehow it didn't.
You might think, but well, there's always next time.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, thanks.
Isn't that good?
Yeah. And thanks, Kia, because I think as teachers, we all experience those ups and downs. And it's like, how do we navigate through that time? Come back to and surrender to what we're really, really passionate about and what we as teachers, in my opinion, bring as gifts to our students. So thank you for showing up. I know your students appreciate and love you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Who's next? Nikki?
It's Nikki, yeah. I feel like my world is so different from your world right now. My win is that I am trying to be very supportive of my husband. So I last minute picked up my son and I and went to this trip in California, and we've been in a different hotel every night traveling across California. And as fun as it has been beyond challenging to try to maintain a routine for my son and a routine for myself where I actually get my work done. I actually have a small shipping business. I don't know if I've mentioned it, but just trying to maintain my own business and my studies has been beyond challenging, let alone trying to practice. And, I'm in a place where it's just in trying to be supportive and flexible with my husband, I've kind of put myself to the side, and I'm happy to do it, but it's a new place for me, and it has definitely been challenging.
Hmm. Yeah, I hear that. How's California?
California is incredible. Santa Barbara is a freaking amazing.
But
yeah, now today I'm in Moreno Valley, which is not amazing. In fact, there's like nothing around, and my little boy, my husband told me he would come back to try to help me with this call, but he's not here, and we're supposed to check out of the hotel right now, but we're sitting here anyways, and I'm on this call, so that's what's happening today.
Well, don't stress. We'll work it out, okay? I just really appreciate you calling in, especially being on the road and traveling so much, so thank you, and think about Santa Barbara.
Yeah,
that energizes
you. Santa Barbara. Thank you.
Yeah. Santa Barbara is Boulder with a little bit of water.
Yeah.
So
then I would love Boulder.
Yes, you would. Get a little bit of snow here. Anna, I know that I shared in the beginning that it was difficult hearing you, so I just want to check in and see if I'm the only one that's having trouble. Do you just want to say a few words and see if we can understand you? Because I want you to feel part of this group. Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, is anyone else able to understand Anna?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Anna, I'm sorry, but you're here with us listening intently, and I know I just, you know, want you to feel part of this group. So stay on the phone, okay? All right, I think we have checked in with everyone. And next, I would like to ask if anybody had any questions on the reading. And if not, would someone like to volunteer to just briefly review what we worked on last week? Creating the shift. Can anybody just sort of summarize in one or two sentences? And we have a little bit of background noise, so if you're not speaking, maybe star six would be helpful.
Hey, Sasha, this is Mel.
Yes.
I'm going to be driving for the next about 25 minutes, and then I'll be stable and parked. So I'm going to go on mute, but just
perfect.
Know because I'm on a freeway, I won't be able to get on and off. So I
okay.
can hear the background noise, okay?
Okay, thank you. Drive safely and listen intently.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Oh, we are losing people like flies. What's going on? Is Mercury in retrograde? Yeah, I don't know. No, I don't think it is. I think it's a couple more weeks. Anyway, does anybody want to volunteer to just summarize what we learned last week around creating the shift before we move on to the fourth step, which is framing the session?
I can try.
Great.
Yeah. So to me, it seemed like you want to listen very carefully for where the client is stuck and ask questions and reflect in a way where they come to a perspective shift. That's what
exactly.
I remember.
Yeah. That's great. And we allow them to come to that on their own.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Nancy.
No agenda.
No hijacking. Mm-mm. All right, so today we're going to move on and just sort of dig in a little bit deeper to framing the session, which you'll find on the bottom of page 99 and then the top of page 100. So if you're not already there, if you can turn there. And Kia, are you done chewing? Done eating, I mean? Sorry. Sorry.
Yes, I'm done eating.
Okay. Would you mind reading this section, Frame the Session, bottom page 99 to start?
After the client's shift is acknowledged, the mentor coach may explore commitment or encourage the client to put new awareness into action that would further the goal. You want me to continue on?
Yes, please.
The culmination of each coaching session is to reach an agreement about the next steps that the client will commit to in the following week prior to the next session. A formal stated action plan by their client allows both coach and client to know exactly where the client's commitment is and how success will be measured. Both parties are clearly and specifically focused on the success map for that week. So A, acknowledge the shift the client has just made. B, check the client's commitment to moving forward. C, request action from the client. What actions are you taking away from the session? what accomplishment, if done this week, would result in significant improvement, and are you willing to do it? Have the client specify a time frame for the intention.
Great. Thank you. So I feel like this is pretty straightforward. But before we get into a discussion, does anybody have any questions on this piece, just from what Kia shared?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, how will success be measured? Can you give some examples?
Well, tangible measurements. I mean, we talked about our SMART goals, right? And stating three initiatives for each goal and then taking some baby steps towards each initiative, you know, one being in the first 24 hours and the next one being in the next 2 to 3 days. So the best way to measure is actually committing to that accountability piece. So when you come back to the call the following week, and you start out, typically we start out with checking in. How did the homework go? How did the accountability piece, but, you know, last week we ended on you saying you were going to step into this. And if you didn't have a chance to connect with your client between the last call and this call, you know, sometimes I check in by email, that's what I lead in with. How did it go? And so it's a way to keep them committed, accountable, and it's a way to measure it. I mean, really, by the measurement piece, it's really talking about the SMART goals. Is that helpful?
Yes, I mean, the word measurable, I'm just wondering, like, you know, it seems like it could go very vague sometimes.
I totally agree. I'm going to ask you if you could sort of shift that language and take measured out. Is there another word that resonates more with you?
Not at the moment. I'll have to think about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, the way that I think about it is you can't measure something that's not tangible. You know, and you can compare it from week to week and see how people are progressing. But that measurement is going to come from their actions that they are doing, not say that they're going to do, but that they're actually doing, where you have something tangible to talk about and measure towards their progress, because typically it's baby steps. It's like, what one step can you do this week to get closer to your agenda? And then after that, it's what's the next step that you can do to keep them on that path towards progress.
Okay. So it kind of sounds like, did they do the action they said they would?
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Great question. Anybody else? Any inquiries on this section, framing the session? Okay, great. So we as coaches hold the space so the client may decide if and how they want to change. So we're actually, you know, allowing them to make a commitment to their own work and moving forward. And I really feel like more than any other time that we've had this discussion around the parallels in yoga, that this is really one that you can totally use, and I want to talk about that a little bit. It's just a great way to experience the effectiveness. So small changes, baby steps. If someone wants to jump in and speak about if you are on your yoga mat as a student or as a teacher, and you're struggling with a particular asana, what can the teacher do or offer to set you up for success?
Hmm. I'll speak if nobody else wants to.
Thank you.
You know, very similar to the coaching, you can see what the student's struggling with and find out what comfortable next step would help them, you know, move closer to what they are trying to accomplish or discover.
Great. And bring it into the yoga studio for a moment as a teacher. If someone's struggling in a posture, is
okay.
there something that you can offer in the way of, I'm looking for a certain word, but if you don't say it, I'll throw it out there.
You're looking for a particular word? Ooh, now I don't know.
Yeah, modification.
I mean, there's like what you could offer, you know? I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Modification.
Modification. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what does modification mean to you guys? What does that offer a student?
To me, it offers a way to personalize the pose in a way that's functional and effective for that person.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And it offers them the opportunity to do it when it may not be obtainable otherwise.
Exactly. And so you're getting the client to think about, I mean, they may think that there's just no way they can take on what the coach may be offering. And so it's our job to break it down into baby steps, just like we would break an asana down into modifications to set your student or your client up for success, because you want to celebrate the small changes that they're making and allow them to experience this effectiveness. There was, I think it was last week, I'm not sure, we read about shrinking the change. And basically what that means is you modify one piece of behavior. So you allow the clients to resonate with the experience of doing something new, right? And so then you're able with them to celebrate and validate that change. So even if in an asana pose, somebody that's new to your practice doesn't know how to do a certain one and you give them, say they drop a knee in side plank or something, you're still setting them up for success and they're feeling like they're part of the class. It's a little different when you're in the coaching session because it's just one-on-one unless you're doing group coaching. So, you know, it's time for self-reflection and incorporating change as part of their identity, because a lot of times people feel like their goals are too lofty and their shifts are too big and where do I even begin? So I just wanted to have a little bit more discussion around that, taking your experience from the yoga studio.
I have a good example, but it's not the yoga studio. But it is, like, to me, it has been, like, so telling. So, you know, I feel like you guys already know, obviously, like, my husband and I are working through some things. And he is king of creating these goals that are unobtainable. Like, I'm going to get a $20,000 raise. Like, something, like, so out there with it's not measurable. You know what I mean? Like, there's no small goal leading up to it. It's just, like, this random, like, or, you know, just really unobtainable. And so I was telling him, like, gosh, you know, we have a child now and I feel like we're never affectionate. You don't hold my hand anymore. You don't put your arm around me. Like, it's almost like we're partners. We high five at the end of the night and that's it, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was super cute because he came and he goes, I have this new idea. And he's reading some book, but I don't know how I got it. But he literally was like, I'm going to give you 25 hugs a day. And I was like, what? And then I go, you know what? I even think 25 is, like, just give me 5 hugs a day. Like, 5. You know, like, just give me 5. And he started giving me 5. And if he, even, like, last night, so we didn't even see each other all day until, like, you know, 9. And in the bathroom while we're brushing our teeth, he just kept putting his arms around me and giving me 5 hugs. And I cannot tell you, like, how it changed our dynamic. 5 hugs. 5 simple baby teeny hugs. instead of saying, like, I need you to be intimate with me and I need you to make me feel loved, like, those goals are so large and, like, unobtainable, but 5 hugs, doable, you know? So I just think that that's a good example of a small measurable goal to something that's it's actually working towards a bigger thing, which is more intimacy.
That is such an amazing example. And it's, yeah, I was talking about yoga, but it's certainly, if you've got another example, that's totally great to bring that in. And I love how you said, well, your husband said 25 hugs a day, and you're like, no, 5 is cool. You know, we don't need to go to 25. So that's great awareness by you. And personally, I'm so glad that that is making you feel better. So way to go.
Thanks, Rico.
Yeah. Can you guys hear that banging? Okay, good.
Yes, but it's little.
Okay, thank you. I'm in my place. I'm the only one in, and there are workers surrounding me. So I've got every door and window shut, so I'm sorry. Anyway, would anyone else like to share this experience around small baby steps and taking modifications, possibly in the yoga studio? Okay. Maybe you're trying to talk and you're on mute.
Hi, this is Kiana. I'm happy to share something.
Okay.
I see it when students get really inspired to do sadhana, to do a personal practice in the morning, and they just want to start so big. And so just trying to explain to them that it helps if you start in a much smaller bite-sized piece, because for 2 weeks you're really enthusiastic and then you hit a bump and suddenly it doesn't seem attainable anymore at all. So just reducing something down, you know, and creating a really positive habit. And then once you've created that over time, then starting to build on it and make it, you know, maybe a bigger bite. So that's kind of one way I think of it.
And that's just another terrific example. And I have to share that I've been guilty of, you know, like I'm going to meditate every single day for 30 minutes. And if I think about, oh, I'll have 5 minutes to meditate, I like blow it off, you know, thinking that that's not enough. So I think it's a journey for all of us, even though we're in this industry and you guys are becoming life coaches and learning more about these skills and these tools and this model that we're following. It's always a reminder that we need to continue to work on it with ourselves as well as our students and our clients. So thanks, Kia. Can totally relate to that. And when you take a look at this in this way, it's the same. I think it sustains the process even in the discomfort. Right? And people, change is never easy. Change often comes at a snail's pace. But when you celebrate the small successes, really you're creating this possibility. And I feel like this possibility opens the door to a new way of thinking. So I don't know if you've ever heard that it takes about 21 to 30 days to change a habit and create a new one. So it's really, really important to keep the consistency, to keep the structure around, you know, what you want to attain in your life. And for each of us, it can be different. But for all of us, we can use the same. Oh, my God, that is so loud. I am so sorry. All right, focus. We can all be reminded that those baby steps, just like Kia was saying, eventually turn into larger, more sustainable change. And, you know, it's interesting to reflect that comfortable and confident is not a place that we begin, right? We have to get there. And we have to oftentimes work through our discomfort and be steadfast in our desire to move forward and create change. Any other questions, comments about this piece?
I just had a realization as we were talking there. You know, the thing that shifted my challenge in teaching was actually that I shifted my sadhana this morning. I changed up a little bit what I've been doing as my morning practice because I recognized I needed to activate myself more. I'd been doing just lots of sort of stillness, and that really helped. Anyway, sorry I just shared that because it suddenly arrived.
Yeah. No sorries. I want this to be as interactive as possible with all of you sharing your experiences because I feel like we all learn from each other, and I find that fascinating that you shifted your sadhana practice and then you showed up differently in your class. That's awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mel, I'm assuming you're still driving. You don't have to get off mute if you are, but if you are parked, I'd love to hear from you if you want to share. We'll just give you a second, and if not, I'll know that you're still driving. Okay, great. Let's all turn in our books to page 131. And we didn't have much reading this last week, but there's some great tenets of mentor coaching on page 131. Just there was something else. And I'm sorry, I apologize. Back up. I was on the wrong page. Page 129, the 11 steps to ignite change. Would each of you step in, pick one of these steps, and share what that means to you or ask any questions around it? So knowing in our reading that we as a culture are oftentimes resistant to change, to get out of our comfort zone and step into places that are unfamiliar and unknown, and without the guarantee of what's on the other side, it's kind of scary. And it's a practice of letting go, and this is where I feel like I know my yoga practice and my meditation practice have really served me. But for the many, many people out in the world that may not have a spiritual practice and have the wisdom that goes along with it, not judging in any way, maybe not looking through that spiritual lens, just staying on more of a linear and logical and practical level, these changes are really, really important. So let's just go one at a time. Pick one and just share how that works for you or how you understand that piece.
I can go if there's no one else. Hello?
Yes, you don't even need to say the second part anymore if no one wants to go. You just go. Okay.
All right. So the one that stood out is endorse your progress. To me, that seems very significant because a lot of people focus on what's lacking and what they're not doing, and it can really sabotage the process of, you know, feeling optimistic and in a place of possibility and personal power to create change. So sometimes when you see your own or help someone else see their own, you know, the things they've done that you could recognize as progress, they start to see, oh, indeed, change is happening, and start to settle into that they are capable and that they can grow comfortable with that.
That's awesome. And I'm just thinking back to how you opened up in our check-in, celebrating your ability to let go, even though many, many years of upbringing have taught you different messages. So I think you're doing the same thing for yourself as well. It's just really great to hear. Thank you.
Thanks, Sasha.
You're welcome. Anyone else like to pick a little bullet point and talk about it?
The one that stood out, this is Nikki, stood out for me is focus on specific results, action, and momentum regarding goals. And that's something that it's really interesting, and this actually has been because of the course. I, you know, obviously I share everything that I'm learning with my husband, and, you know, whenever we're talking about our goals, we keep coming back to this idea of, like, let's stop rehashing the past and move forward. And I think it's really important that you know, we have a specific goal that we're working towards, and, you know, every time our conversation veers into this, you know, downward spiral, I'm like, let's stop focusing there. Let's keep our, like, focus on the result or on our goal and where we want to be, not where we've been. And so I think that's been a huge step towards our change, because, again, it is human nature to continue to rehash the past, because that's evident. That's what happened. That's real. That's tangible. And it's almost as though the future is intangible. And so to keep optimistic and keep your focus on that is more challenging, but it is the way to change. And so that's something that really stood out to me and has kind of been what we've been moving towards.
Absolutely. And just another great example, you just described life coaching to a T, right? It's about where you are in the present and where you want to move to in the future. And again, just to reiterate that it's not impossible, or it's not out of the question to have things in the past come up. You can't just cut off your past. Your past has created who you are in this moment. But it's like, where are you focusing your energy? And our past is our past. We can't change it. And to think that we can is really insanity. So we use those experiences to move us in the direction we want to go. So, yeah, thanks for defining what we're doing here, Nikki.
No problem.
Anyone else? Or let me rephrase that. Next person.
This is Kia. I like the step of actually figuring out the key initiatives to take for each goal, and for that one and the next one, deciding the next best action. What I like so much about them is the timetable, because I find that goals without timetables are really usually pretty unattainable. It's just something in all of us that wants to leave our homework to the last minute. Having a timetable, I know for me, a deadline helps me to really focus my attention and creates a sense of urgency, not like a stressful urgency, but just the sense that there's something to be done. And then I feel like having that intentional energy towards something, then the ways to get there start to come into focus, and life flows a lot more easily. What I'm interested in these steps is the place for vairagya. You know, if we're always focusing on goals, at what point in these steps here are we looking at not being attached to specific outcomes, so being able to kind of have the discipline and the focus, but also not be attached to outcomes?
That is a brilliant question. The best way, I've never been asked that in this setting. I constantly talk about that in the yoga setting, in the spiritual teachings. So, you know, I think I would leave that more up to how you feel in your relationship with your client and your students. Obviously, it's a little bit different here in that the client-coaching relationship, we are actually moving towards goals. So we are staying in action. We are being accountable. And this is the measuring piece right here, Minx, that we were talking about. But we all know and believe and have studied in non-attachment to any of these outcomes. So the course itself can't really speak to that, but you as individuals can absolutely bring that wisdom in, which is why you are going to be such effective coaches. You already are, because you have this whole other wealth of knowledge and experience. But just to be clear, Kia, I really can't answer that in the context of like what it says in the book or what I know this course to be. But I think it's a beautiful opening to share some spiritual wisdom with some people who, like I said earlier, may not even have a sense of that. How does that land with you?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess it's just, you know, because life is so extraordinary that we might have an idea of what the success or the goal looks like, but sometimes the package comes wrapped just a little bit differently, or, you know, through the back door instead of the front door. So if we're so fixated on it becoming in a perfect little, you know, gift wrap package that looks one way and it comes in another way, you know, just to be open to that, I guess that's something I'm thinking about.
Go ahead, Minx, please.
I mean, to me, it seems like it's actually built into the coaching model. It's just not stated as such, you know, mm-hmm. But in the open questions and the, you know, how else could you look at this? Is there another way that you know, like, it seems like it's in there. It's just not called Vairagya, but it's in that possibility thinking and, you know, just reframing and understanding the essence of what's important and always coming back to what are the needs and values, what's important to this person, how can they, you know, move forward in their life with a more expanded vision of possibility, which, you know, requires letting go of many things that they were fixated on and, you know, opening up to that, like the package might look different.
I love that. Love that. Thank you.
Me too. You're leading the next session. I'm going to Santa Barbara. That's awesome. That's brilliant insight, because I really appreciate that feedback, because I've never been asked that question in this particular setting. So, and now I'm listening to you, Minx. I mean, that makes tremendous sense to me, and I'm more prepared to answer in that way going forward. So thank you, brilliant yogis.
That's what co-training with her. Yeah. Mel on park.
Yay, Mel, you're parked. So would you be able to? I don't know if you have your book with you.
I'm here.
Okay. Would you be able to speak to one of these bullet points?
Yes. So have needs and values and sharp focus. Now my interpretation of this is where I am right now, which is that if I'm clear, very clear on what my needs are and what my value is, my core value in any moment, that I'm making a more aligned decision. And when I, you know, obviously when we align with our core values, we're happier. We don't suffer as much. We're not so out of alignment or out of yoga. So for me, that's very powerful. And I would almost add that it's put in place to remind yourself of the, you know, of the needs and values in any moment to stay in focus. And then that's where I think a lot of the different yoga tools that we have, you know, pausing, breathing, grounding, all the different various things, mantra, even having like an affirmation that brings you back and like, you know, what is it that's important in this moment kind of thing. But that means a lot to me. That's very powerful for me.
That's great. Do you mind if I ask you a question? Can you give us an example of one of your values?
Well, yes, sure, of course. So, you know, if I say thinking core value, to be in touch and awake to the mystery, the beautiful mystery of life in the moment, that it's actually a blessing and that it's a gift, every moment's a gift. So that's one that awakening to the love even around you. So when I'm off alignment, you know, I have to do things. I'm very busy and maybe grumpy, but I'm not awake. So things that bring me back into that awakeness, for me, it has to do with a pause, literally stopping and anchoring my breath and bringing feeling into a different part of my being. You know, if I'm up in my head, to feel my body, or if I'm really in my body, you know, feel my heart, something like that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. So obviously there are more bullet points on this page, and then we're not going to go into, but just really I'd like for you to bring awareness and focus, if you haven't already read page 131, just more ideas and solidifying the things that we've been talking about in maybe some different language on the basic tenets of mentor coaching. So read that when you have a chance. Yeah, I think that's good. Unless anyone else has any questions around what we've just discussed, we are going to move into our Coach the Coach session. All right, sounds like everybody's in a good space. So just one more request, if someone... Okay, so we're not picking now. She can't leave. She's the client. Hopefully she's calling back in. Yes.
Sorry, I just want to let you know where I'm at, which is I'm the coach today. And my husband has still not returned to my hotel.
Nikki?
Yes.
Can you? So are you saying you can or cannot coach?
Well,
a little bit of background noise. Guys.
It's me. I'm sorry. I'm trying to...
Oh, that's okay.
No
worries.
I don't get myself a call again. I'm sorry.
No worries. No worries. Go ahead.
I'm saying I can, just that will be a distraction that's there. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I won't be completely in quiet because I have a little boy who has not been quiet the entire call.
So, we only have 4 people on the call. If I take Nikki out of the equation, could I get, and I don't, that's why I kept sending out this updated Coach the Coach, because things kept shifting, and I get it. But in this moment, I want to get the most out of our coaching session. So if I pull Nikki out, Kia, Mel, and Minx have all coached before, correct?
Yeah. Correct.
Who has not been the client?
No, I have not.
Okay, Mel, you stay as the client. I would like Kia to coach Mel and Minx to be the observer. Does that work for you guys?
Do you want me to be the observer? Is that what you said, or Minx is the observer?
Minx is the observer. Or Nikki,
okay.
I want to give you your space to do what you need to do. I would love to keep you as part of this, but you want to be the
but
observer?
But you can hear him, right? So it's like, I'm happy to be the observer.
Okay.
You know, whatever is Okay.
Let's do that. Kia will coach Mel. Nikki will be the observer. And if someone could just briefly go through the five steps of the simple coaching model, we'll then begin.
I can do it. It's number one is specify the agenda. Number two, determine useful intervention moments. Three, shift the perspective. Four, frame the session. And five, follow up.
Great. So we want to be listening for all of those, but especially today, our focus has been on framing the session, number four. So we'll have everyone but Kia and Mel press star six. Ladies, give us a second, and then watch your time for your session.
Hi, Mel, are you there?
Hi, Kia. Yeah, I'm here. This is so perfect. So well aligned.
How are you?
I'm very good. I'm very good. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. I'm happy to be on this line. So what's going on with you right now? What's coming up for you?
Well, so, you know, just not to pretend that we haven't already been in conversation to keep everyone with us. So I made a commitment that this is a very powerful time. I can feel the power within my body and within just the universe of of a transformation. And I think part of my transformation is creating these this prenatal offering that I've talked to you about. And you know, I made a commitment to both of us. And I failed. You know, I failed. And there's all kinds of great, really important reasons why I haven't gotten to where I wanted to get, which was, you know, an outline, not just a couple words on a piece of paper, but really an outline of the next step of this video offering that I'm making. And I feel like I need figure out a way. I need to create a tool to have an intervention for myself. Like in the moments where I'm very busy doing all very important things, to stop. And
I hear a very clear agenda there.
I know,
right? To create a way to have an intervention, and I totally resonate with that. I think it's just the overall busyness of life and the many demands that we have at any given time, how can we, in that moment, reprioritize and
mm-hmm.
come back to, you know, what it is that we're essentially yearning to get done. So what ideas do you have around this right now, Mel?
It's a great question because, you know, we're all... Stephen Hawking, everyone's dealing with the same 24 hours, and I know of that, the same busyness. And I think what was the name for it? Not muffing, that's a totally different thing. But you have a great name for it, but we'll start, like, cleaning the counters and taking stuff out of the dishwasher. It's stuff that doesn't absolutely have to happen. I mean, it does make life easier to have a tidy home and the kids and all that stuff. But where I could stop and give myself 20 minutes would make me feel like I was on the right path. So I feel like I need to have some sort of reminder. I need you to come to my house and take me and stop cleaning. Like, if, you know, it's going to be there tomorrow. Work on your thing. I don't know.
I mean, maybe there's a way that you can just take it into smaller bite-sized pieces that you could be done in a relatively quick time. So maybe you could, well, you tell me, what do you think the smaller bite-sized pieces are that still involve you creating an outline?
Well, it's so funny, because you just said that. And I've been thinking that 20 minutes is a small bite-sized piece, but something about you just saying that to me just shifted something. So maybe it's my a lot of pieces of my sadhana are literally getting in my car, the doors, and then doing some, you know, pranayama and grounding, and then going to wherever I need to go. So maybe I need to build something, or would it be helpful for me to do a little bite-sized piece of, like, doing that and then adding, like, my notebook right there. Maybe it's less of a bite-sized piece. Maybe it's really just, like, 5 minutes. You know,
right.
Even, not on the toilet, but, like, where my pad of paper is with me.
Yes. I love that idea. So if you are looking at that, you know, say those 5 minute pieces, how many of those 5 minute pieces do you think would make up your outline?
That's funny. Now it seems so clear, Kia. But I bet if I did that 3 times in one day in 3 days, because it's all inside me. I'm not, you know, it's already made. I just need to put it down on paper so, you know, the people who are helping me create this can get on board. And I'm organized and efficient with the time. If I did it in 3 days, if I did it 3 times a day, I'd be way farther along, almost there, if not there.
Well, that sounds an incredible way to do it. And who knows, you know, yes, exactly. You could just speed right through it.
Yeah, I mean, that's so easy.
So you have your piece of paper, your pad with you. Also, when you get inspired, you could jot things down. So do you have 3 times in the day where you could make that a priority?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
What would those 3 times be?
Upon rising.
Mm-hmm.
Upon rising. I mean, you know, again, there's like all these different, well, you know, I have my morning practice, and it's limited, and so that would cut into my, you know what I mean? Like, I have all these reasons why I could tell you why that's not a good choice, but yes, upon rising.
Great. And then the second one?
The second one. Well, on my days that I teach and I have access to a car and away from children, it's when I get into the car to go teach, and then I have, you know, my short practice. Then when I get back in the car to, again, short practice. So that was right there on any of the days that I teach.
Great. And how many days are you teaching?
I teach 4 to 5 days a week, so that
okay.
It would be great.
So that would pretty much cover it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a great plan. So you'll be doing 5 minute chunks. 3 times a day for 3 days.
Yeah.
Wonderful. How inspiring.
Yeah, it makes me want to cry. Thank you for this. I mean, it seems so simple, but it's amazing how really I was stuck on 20 minutes.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, that seems too hard.
I'm so glad that can be helpful. So that's, when will you start these?
Today,
did you say?
I'm going to start it today.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah,
that's so exciting.
I'm going to start it today. Yeah, it is exciting. I mean, I feel ready. What I will say that, you know, our conversation last time, all the work we've been doing, I feel in an enthusiastic place, and I feel in a bright, I feel the potential of the time, not the, oh, my gosh, I'm failing. So I feel like in a very good place that maybe I wasn't a couple weeks ago for it.
That's great to bring that new level of enthusiasm and inspiration in. So then we can follow up with each other after the 3 days is gone.
Well, and not to get, I mean, because I know you're traveling, but is that gonna, would that actually be possible and realistic? Term?
No, some think that you're right. I'm looking at it in realistic terms. We could do a follow-up probably next Tuesday. Is Tuesday available for you?
Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. Great.
Okay. So.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Congratulations on having a good, solid game plan.
Thanks. You were a good lightning bolt.
Thank you.
Did we go underneath our time now? I'm just being aware, like, I'm like, is it too neat? Because it really wasn't that
I know.
Needed. I'm really
we'll talk about all that, but it was like the fastest coaching call ever. Oh, my gosh.
I guess when you're done, you're done, right?
You're done, right. Why need to, you know, lengthen it? So if everyone could come off mute, we'll just have more time to have feedback. And if, Nikki, you're in a good place, could you lead the discussion, please, on feedback?
Sure. It sounds like there was a conversation that we weren't privy to. So I felt like there was a lot in code, but that's okay. You know, and I the one thing that I wrote at the beginning was like, ask, you know, what's your agenda? But it sounds like you already knew what the agenda was, so maybe you didn't need to state that. And then once, you know, Melanie started, it was very interesting to me because once Melanie kind of, she rambled something and I couldn't really decipher what she was saying, and Kia came back and she was like, oh, perfect, I hear your agenda, and she restated it. And was very clear on what our agenda was going to be after Kia restated it, so it sounded like she kept us right on path. And then, you know, I hear, like, great catch, because you said, well, you know, how can we create? And then you stopped yourself and you said, let me ask you, what does great size look like to you? And in that question, you totally shifted perspective of needing 20 minutes. She realized to her a bite size was 5 minutes, and that seemed to kind of shift the perspective and get her to her goals. And then after you created those goals, you know, you clarified, you know, when are you going to start, and then you finished it up with step 5, and I'm going to follow up on Tuesday. Does Tuesday work? Great, great. So I thought it was a pretty neat and tidy session.
Indeed. Thank you. That's terrific insight. Thank you, Nikki. Minx, what are your thoughts?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I can't tell sometimes if I'm on mute or off for some reason. you know, what stood out for me is the power of the evolving relationship. You know, like Nikki pointed out at the beginning, it almost seemed like they already knew what they were working on, and so it's just, you know, how are we going to follow up and take these next steps and get you out of your stuck place into an inspired, mobilized, you know, actionable place. And it just seemed like it happened lightning fast with good mutual understanding, and you know, seemed like there was everything, this perspective shift, the acknowledgement, the new commitments. The agenda was really clear to both of them, it seemed like. It was fun to listen to.
Thank you. Mel, how did that feel to you?
You know, really great, actually. Before I got on the call, I was like, okay, now don't overcomplicate, honest, because I felt a little ashamed. And I had a lovely conversation, you know, 10 days ago or whatever, and I had made a commitment, and I had, you know, almost 100% failed, maybe did a 10%. So I felt ashamed, and I just wanted to be honest with it, but it was making me squirm. So I was mumbling. Ashamed. The shift of perspective happened very fast. And, so it was on top of the conversation. So, I feel refreshed. Like I do feel definitely like I can do what I said I'm going to do, and that's a relief. It's been months that I've been holding this.
So for you, can you feel the power of this collaborative relationship and how all of this synthesizes?
Yeah, I really can. And I have to say that that even in itself, I think I have an underlying belief that I need to do everything on my own. So it, that in itself is something for me to continue to chew on.
But it's also nice to know that you do have a support system.
Yeah, so Will, I mean that. Like, I think that underlying belief that I need to do everything on my own, and in fact, when I do reach out and connect with the support that's around me, that I actually can get unstuck.
Yeah, and that's great wisdom to have as you work with your clients, because they have that ability to do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they may also have that belief of, like, they have to do it all by themselves, and this is a waste of time. You know what I mean? Like, not really a waste of time, but like, oh, well, it comes down to me anyway. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, there is a process between those two spaces, and, you know, it's not like you want to keep a coaching client forever. They come to you, or they come to this relationship when they're ready to move out of a stuck area and into something greater that serves them. So, you know, it can definitely be an ongoing journey, but my past experience with clients has indicated that, you know, it's timing. It's timing of where they are in their life and what their needs, their particular needs are at that time in their life.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and it's not a personal thing. If somebody wants to be done with life coaching, it's actually a sign of success that you've helped to get them where they want to be. So it's really a great success. Kia, how did you feel with that very brief coaching session?
Well, I actually really appreciated being the coach again, so thank you for that opportunity, because I feel like I could be just much more intuitive and relaxed this time, having a greater idea about, you know, what it's really about and what the goals were. And I feel like Mel and I had this discussion about, you know, sort of, because we're partners, so we were sort of aware of what we're working on, and we'd set goals with one another. So I do understand that I could have reframed it all the way up front about, you know, so that everyone else on the call could understand. It was that, like, interesting moment of being aware that we knew what we were talking about, but not everybody else probably did. So in retrospect, I would have, you know, taken a moment and just done that rather than just kind of dive on in. What I'll say about Mel is she's like, it's like, you know, when you adjust a student who's very smart in their body and they just take the adjustment right away. I feel like working with her is like so easy like that, as opposed to a student where, you know, they just can't catch the adjustment. So, I mean, it's a really joyful experience. Yeah, and I really enjoy and can see that power of the evolving relationship and just having somebody to be accountable for holding your best interests at heart.
Thank you. And it's wonderful to see. Hopefully everyone will have two chances. With the way the schedule's changed, I'm not sure that's going to happen, but you can always practice with your spouses and kids and coworkers. But it's amazing to bear witness to this process of how intuitively all of you are stepping in, no matter what role you're playing, coach, client, primary observer. It's very clear to me that you're understanding, implementing, and processing this material that we're learning, so you should all feel very empowered by the last 7 weeks, and I'm really proud of all of you. I thought you followed the steps precisely, and like I said, record time. So I'm just curious. Welcome, Jenny.
Hey, guys. Sorry.
for the last 3 minutes here because we're about to wrap up early, but we're so glad that you're here. Kia, if you were coaching a client in full length of time, like whatever that looks like, 50 minutes, an hour, and you got to the half an hour mark, and it was very similar to what happened today. It was very clean and concise and tidy. What could you do, or what would you do for the rest of the session?
I would ask them if they have anything else that they'd like to work on.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if you both are committed, and the client is obviously paid for that time, it's unusual, but it's certainly not impossible that the client could fulfill their primary agenda sooner than either one of you thought, like within the hour, within the half an hour. And then it's simply like the next session. It's like the next call. Okay, well, that sounds good. I'll check in with you on that. And then what's next? So you're not, the difference being they're not really having time to process that and be held accountable for it because you're still on the same call. However, if that feels manageable to them, I feel like we can hold the space for them to then step into something else that they want to work on.
That makes
sense. Would you guys agree? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, amazing work, everyone. Let's just take a look at the homework for next week, and we'll probably be off the call about 5 minutes early. But before we go there, Jenny, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
How's the teacher starting?
It's intense. It's 9 to 6 every day, and it's just me. So. I snuck out of sutra study to get on the phone.
Well, thank you. I'm happy that I just wanted to jump on.
I
appreciate it. And you just take some time to listen to the recording.
I will.
When you have some time. Okay, so our homework is to read pages 145 and 146. This is a place that we're really going to dive into next week. It's called Your Undeniable Benefit Statement. It's, for lack of a better phrase, basically your elevator speech, what you do and why it would serve the person that you're talking to. So just read through this, 145, 146. And on the syllabus, it says to share it with a stranger. Follow the example in the book on page 146. If you have, since this is the first time we're stepping into this, I would love for you to be able to share it. Like say you're in line for the bank or the grocery store or whatever, and you strike up a conversation with a stranger, and you start talking about what each of you do in the world. And it's a great opportunity to practice that undeniable benefit statement. If you feel like you're solid in it and you want to, you know, give it a whirl, please go for it. If not, that's cool too. And then also read pages 213 through 220.
Okay.
Okay. Any final thoughts, questions, concerns? Great. Okay, so proud of all of you. Thank you for showing up with everything that you're going through. This is a confidential space, and hopefully we'll all be together for next week. I'll resend out one more time. Just keep deleting the previous ones, the updated coach-to-coach schedule. Okay? All right, thanks. Let me know if I can support you guys.
Thanks, Sasha.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye, everybody. Namaste. Sending you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.